You have your Bibles, turn with me over to Ephesians 4. Follow along, please, as I read beginning at verse 14. Ephesians 4 and verse 14. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place and before your word. We've come this morning to hear from you, so help us to focus upon what you have said. I pray, Father, that we will handle it accurately and reflect what is here so that each of us can take it and make the appropriate application. Some of us will be encouraged, some of us will be challenged. Father, I pray that the source of that challenge, the source of that encouragement, will be you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're finishing up a section, so let me remind you. With the help of our pastor teachers, we are being equipped for service. My job is to help us serve. Strengthening the body of Christ, His church. Growing into the fullness of Christ, that we would be increasingly more like Christ. If we are here this morning in Christ, none of us is where we were. We should be growing. And none of us is where we will be as we continue to grow. Our responsibility to one another is to have a part in that process. So, as our passage begins this morning, as a result of all of that, as a result, we are no longer to be children. Now, is there anything wrong with being a child? Absolutely not. I think what Paul is warning us here against is to not be satisfied with the simple. Now again, is there anything wrong with simple? No. It's where we all start. Whether it's in education, a job, a new discipline, beginnings, by definition, are almost always simple. They're regularly foundational. Can't skip them. You will have trouble with algebra if you don't understand 2 plus 2 is 4. But do we want to stay there at 2 plus 2? No, we want to grow. We want to mature. We want to learn more. John 3:16. Fundamental. Simple. Oh, can we plumb the depths? No, can't get there. But it's still, on the surface, God loved, Jesus gave, we believe. That's pretty simple, and it's a good thing, because most of us are pretty simple. But the extent of our Christian experience, our knowledge of God's word, shouldn't stop at John 3:16. We should continue to grow, learn more, understand more. And if we will, we will no longer be children, nor will we be tossed here and there by waves. And here, I think, picture of a boat on the water. Maybe a sailboat. Anything wrong with a sailboat? Anything wrong with being out on the water? No, not really. But have you ever been in a situation where you were absolutely out of control on the water in a boat, being tossed around? Without any direction, sense of where you're going, or if or how you ever get there? That's frightening. Tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. There I think of a kite. March, April, around here, great times to fly a kite. Ever try to get a kite to go someplace the wind wouldn't take it? A great toy, a great thing to do, fun. Just like out on a lake in a sailboat being blown here and there. Great fun. But it shouldn't reflect our understanding of God's word and how we are to be living, affected by every wave that comes along or every gust of wind. Carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, and let's just finish that, by craftiness in deceitful scheming. When you put that together, clearly, there is nothing accidental or unintentional about this. It's designed to mislead. In my reading, I found out that the word trickery here, it's the Greek word from which we get our word for dice. And not just dice, loaded dice. In other words, these are not people who just happened to misspeak or went down a rabbit track and came to a wrong conclusion. No, they set out to deceive you. They know what they're teaching is wrong, but they have a reason for it. There is some advantage for them. They've come up with a new doctrine. It sounds good. Oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And so you listen to it and you believe it and you go along with it until a new idea pops up. God loves you. Do I have to convince you that God loves you? God is sovereign. He's in absolute control. There's nothing that happens outside of His control. With me? God is good. God wants you to be healthy, and he wants you to be prosperous. After all, when the world looks at God's people and he sees healthy, good-looking, prosperous people, why, they're drawn to them, right? And there'll be more and more. Because God wants you to be healthy and he wants you to be prosperous. Are you struggling with being healthy? Are you struggling with being prosperous? Well, let me assure you, you are outside of God's will. But let me help you come back. Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. Let me send you my book about health and wealth and prosperity and God's blessing. Can't afford my book? I understand. Send me $5. And I will get on my knees and I will pray for you that you will have the faith you need, that God can bless you in these areas. Can't afford $5? Send me a dollar. And I will pray for you. Because God loves you. And God is good. And God wants you to be healthy and prosperous. Now please tell me I lost you. After God loves you and God is good. You've all been around long enough to know that there are things God teaches you only when you aren't healthy. Only when you don't know for sure where the next dollar is coming from and you find yourself on your knees before him, closer than you've ever been before. Because God does love you and God is good. It's trickery, it's craftiness, it's deceitful, it's scheming, and it's always, always designed to mislead. It is intentional, it is not accidental. Key, obviously, is to no longer be children. The antidote? Well, verse 15, 16. Grow up. And I don't mean that in a pejorative way. I mean, like our children, grow up. Mature. Learn some things. Learn that God loves you. Learn that God is good. But read Peter, read James, read the Apostle Paul. Read your Bibles. And remember those passages that remind us that when we're tested, that's God's doing. Satan tempts, God tests. When we are tested with illness, when we're tested with financial challenge, God does that so that we come out on the other side stronger, more faithful, more trusting. So when those challenges come, when those bumps come, we don't need to be angry with God. We need to ask God, what do I need to learn here? What are you teaching me? I want to know what you want me to know. Grow up. Now these two verses, as I have them outlined, first speaking the truth in love. So there's this, you know, verse 15 starts with speaking the truth in love in essence. And then verse 16 finishes in love. So know right from the beginning here, if I lose you at some point, this is all about God's love. Grow into His love for you, and what that means. Scripture regularly uses that illustration. Parents love their children. Sometimes that means discipline. Sometimes that means consequences. Any question about love? No. It's just how love reflects itself. So grow up in your understanding of God's love. Speaking the truth in love. Remember, we have a responsibility, and we're going to see it even more closely this morning before we finish. We have a responsibility to each other. We're involved in this process of maturing and growing. You're a little further along than some of the others who are sitting here. You're not quite as far along as some of the others sitting here. And so from time to time, there's going to be some conflict, but that conflict must always be bathed in love. Truly loving one another, speaking the truth in love. As a loving parent. Do this in all aspects, he says. There's nothing about the Christian experience that isn't supposed to permeate every area of our life. We don't compartmentalize our faith. It's not something we practice on Sunday. It's something that is all through our life. Every day, in every way, in all aspects. Now, my Bible has aspects in italics, so the word's not really there. What is there? In all. So, you know, as Paul's writing, he doesn't even leave it up to your imagination. Well, what does that mean? Well, all. All means all. In all. Grow up in everything, permeated with God's love, into him who is the head, even Christ. So this is a process of Christ-likeness. Whether it's what would Jesus have me do, or what would Jesus do? I want to respond as he would, or as he would have me respond. Which I think is really the better question. As I become more and more like him, I respond as he would respond. I'm more aware of how he would want me to respond to any situation. So I'm not tossed like a sailboat. I'm not carried aloft like a kite. I'm laser guided in my pursuit of Christ-likeness. And not easily diverted. Now in that Christ-likeness, verse 15, we understand then in verse 16, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. The whole body, Christ, the body of Christ, the church, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. What every joint supplies, that's you and me. That's our part in this Christ-likeness, Christ body, the church, each one of us. Held together by what? The finished work of Christ. In all that he has accomplished for us, and our choice, or his choice of us, we come together supplying what he has given us, the giftedness, the abilities that we have, the part we play in this body, in this church, all held together by Christ, according to the proper working of each individual part. So whether we're talking about the church universal or the church local, which is what we can see and how we respond the best, this church will only work and function well if two things are in place. One, we all understand the power of the finished work of Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. And secondly, that each one of us, not just some, not just those who've been at it a while, not the more spiritual among us, no, but that each of us has been specially gifted to serve here in this body. And as long as we are all doing that, we have everything we need to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish in this church and then out into our community. But if just one of us chooses not to do that, chooses not to function, chooses not to do his or her individual part, we will fall short. Elsewhere, well, in 1 Corinthians, Paul used the illustration of the human body. Our bodies work well when everything is working right. Can you compensate? Sure, you can. But it's not going to function like it would if everything was working well, working right. From a minor ache and pain to an amputation. Can you survive? Sure. Can you compensate? Probably. But will your body ever be the same? No. Not until everything is working together the way it was designed to work. And that's a part of the growing up process. Some of us were Christians a long time before we realized the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, that's not when he came upon us. He was there all along. But we had to grow up in our understanding to realize that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And then we probably had to keep growing a little bit longer before we found out that his presence within us is reflected in some special ability that's designed to function within the church, to be shared within the church. That probably came a little later too. Which is why it's important that we grow up and recognize our responsibility to one another within the church. Otherwise, we remain like children expecting somebody else to take care of us. Right? Somebody else needs all my needs. Rather than, I'm finally to the place where I need to be meeting other people's needs with this giftedness that I have. It's all a part of the growing up process. This then causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself. The church will just grow stronger. There are no numbers implied or inserted here. So it doesn't matter if there's 30 of us, 300, 3,000 of us. This is all about health, spiritual health. It can happen in a small group. It can happen in a humongous group, a mega church. But we all need to be doing this. And it finishes there at the end of verse 16 in love. We each have this individual part. When we're functioning, it causes growth. And it's all being held together by the finished work of Christ. And it's all to be done in love. Speak the truth in love. Participate in love. When we are equipped for service and we serve, we've all been equipped for service. None of you could get out of that line. You were all in that line. You were all equipped for service. My job is to help us all, but your part of it, the active part of it, is that you serve. Passive, you are equipped to serve. Active, we serve. So when we are equipped for service and we serve, Each of us is an important part of the body of Christ on earth, his church. Each of us. None of us is unimportant. None of us was saved to sit the sidelines. We all have a part. We will be spiritually healthy and maturing, and we will do it in a loving way. My job is to help us realize that and accomplish that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to challenge and encourage us. Some of this may be new information to some this morning. There may even still be some who are thinking, I can't do anything special. I can't do anything unique. Well, Father, help us to find those folks and help them to see how you have prepared them to serve, so that we can all be serving, all be doing our part, so that our